You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Tuesday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Stay a while. If you're watching, you're listening, tweeting, emailing, all the above. Say good morning to Chat Row. Those watching on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. It's free all 3 hours. We could never charge you for a product like this, could we? Also, those listening on our 362 radio affiliates around the country. Got a potpourri of guests, a hodgepodge. We've got the number one golfer in the world. John Rahm's going to join us a little bit later on. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach. He's going to join us. And Dominic Foxworth of ESPN, former NFL player, really one of the bright voices on TV now dealing with the NFL. So Dominic will join us coming up in about 20 minutes from now. You never want to jump to conclusions, certainly when it comes to the coronavirus, because storylines are changing every day, every hour. And that's why I'm hesitant to bring this up. But I think it's important to share good news. I think sports had a great day yesterday, a 24-hour period where we got good news. The NBA had zero positives among the 346 players tested since July 13th. The bubble appears to be working for now. A month ago, we didn't know which was going to be a stronger strategy, playing at home or putting all the players in one place. So far, the NBA and NHL seem to be in a better position than baseball and the NFL. Now, that could always change. Could change this afternoon. Right now, everyone in Orlando appears to be following the rules and actually having some fun with this. Now, there's no guarantees that the bubble restrictions aren't going to eventually wear thin on these guys. But as numbers remain high throughout the nation, zero positive test has to make the NBA very happy and provide even more momentum, committing to a strategy that hopefully will carry the league through a successful postseason. The NFL, no more preseason games. Boy, that didn't take long. Yesterday morning at this time, I told you about a source who said, hey, they're going to be cutting in half. They're going to have one preseason game in the NFL. And then all of a sudden, the proposal is zero preseason games. The NFL, the players, the coaches need at least one preseason game. Might not be possible, but if you think about new coaches, you got high draft picks, you got quarterbacks trying to get acclimated with game situations. And even a new coach, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, just to have that communication from upstairs down to the field in real time. And Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's first pass could be his first pass in the NFL. And then you have players who might not be able to make the roster without preseason because they don't get a chance to really showcase their talents. You're going to have inter-squad scrimmages, but I don't know how much football we're really going to see. And by that, I mean, are you going to have inter-squad games? Could I have the Texans and Cowboys play one another? Could you have maybe proximity scrimmages? You know, could Tampa play against the Dolphins or Jacksonville play? I don't know what's possible, and I think the NFL is trying to figure out how can we get some football here? How do we get something that at least looks like preseason football? I said from the outset I didn't see preseason happening, and I think we're right there now that we're not going to have preseason football. But those are some things we can talk to Dominic Foxworth about, the importance of preseason, particularly if you're a draft pick taken after the fifth or sixth round, trying to make the team. It's going to be tougher to be able to do that because you won't get the same opportunity. And my rookie coach or my rookie quarterback, boy, I certainly want him to have some reps in there. You know, the veterans say, you know, it's okay to go out there for a series or two, but they don't really need it till maybe that final preseason game when it starts to get serious. I worry about what's going to happen those first couple of weeks of the regular season. If we start on time, what happens? And maybe some of these players putting themselves at risk by then going out there and going full speed because you can't simulate a regular season game. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I don't even know when I mentioned it because, as I've said to the Danettes, I don't know what date it is. I know what day it is, But I go, what's the date today? I think it's the 21st. Let's go with it. But I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I have a source who's an NFL scout who said, you know, don't be surprised if college football is delayed or moved to the spring. You're going to have some marquee players who aren't going to play because they don't want to run the risk of being injured and getting ready for the NFL draft. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.com does a great job on reporting on the NFL. And he says you can expect prospects, you know, maybe not playing college football. And he said this over the weekend. He said one executive even took it a step further, saying any player who has a chance to be drafted in the first 7 rounds of the draft will consider sitting out because why risk further injury? I was told it was if you were a top draft pick, like 1 through 3 rounds, that you would sit out. And then maybe you would have some players who would play in the Senior Bowl. But then the combine becomes even more important of when can you schedule the combine if there's spring football. There's a lot of things still in flux here. But that was one that I was told a couple of weeks ago. And you're not quite sure when we're playing college football and how much of the college football season we'll be able to play. And I'm looking at Notre Dame because we have Brian Kelly on. You know, with the Pac-12 not playing non-conference games this season, this will be the first college football season that USC and Notre Dame have not played against one another since World War II. And it's really important for Notre Dame that the ACC incorporates Notre Dame into its schedule because Notre Dame is going to have 9 games. 6 of its 9 games, regular season games, are against ACC opponents. And Brian Kelly has feasted on the ACC. 1/3 of his victories at Notre Dame. So that's 31 out of 92 have been against ACC opposition. But we'll talk to Brian. He'll join us coming up. Everybody reacted the same way when back in March, Kirk Herbstreit said there's not going to be a college football season. You know, Brian Kelly called Herbstreit out saying, you're not a scientist. Now, he said that he was worried there wasn't going to be a season. And, you know, Brian has since walked that back. We all have. Because when Kirk said that, I said, I don't know how you can say that. Even if you have experts saying there's not going to be a college football season. Because this is fluid. It moves. And it moves rapidly. It moves slowly. Brian Kelly says he almost guaranteed there was going to be a college football season, a recent appearance in the media a couple of weeks ago, a week ago. Almost guaranteeing that. But so we'll talk to Brian about that and how you prepare. Wasn't Notre Dame supposed to play Alabama?
That was a rumor after Alabama canceled USC, but I don't think they ever got it happen.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. By the way, that's McLovin who handles our poll question. He used to be our stats guy, but Ethan took over that role. Fritzy is in the back row, and Paulie and Seton in the front row. And McLovin, you got a poll question for me today.
Yeah, so we were working on over on this side of the glass on poll question. Which quarterback will be hurt the most by not having a preseason?
Okay.
I'll give you the choices here. Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. I'll go and all three rookies. Justin Herbert in L.A. and Tua Tagovailoa in Miami.
I guess immediately I would think Cam Newton, and then I would go Tua, because I'm not sure where Tua is health-wise. And, he's working out, but you're not working out in game-like situations there and really testing that injury. And Cam going into a new system, new team, Brady's been working out. Burrow is going to be a rookie easing into it, and I know expectation levels will be high. But I don't expect a lot out of Burrow or Herbert to begin with. Certainly not Justin Herbert. But Burrow will ease into it. His first pass is going to be a swing pass to Joe Mixon. I mean, write it down. Going to be a little 5-yard dump to Joe Mixon. But Tua, because of the injury, Cam, because of the injuries, and then joining a new team, those would be the two guys. I don't worry about Brady. Because Bruce Arians is smart enough to say, Tom, you do it how you want to do it. And Tom's going to look over his offense and go, oh my gosh, I got guys wide open. This is a little bit easier than the last few years in New England. Burrow's going to struggle no matter what. But I would say Cam Newton and Tua. Yeah, Paul.
I was thinking Justin Herbert might be hurt by this the most because I think a lot of people expect him to start the season on the bench. It could be the whole season if he doesn't do the preseason. And remember what Daniel Jones did last year for the Giants? He was 29 of 34 over the month of August with 416 yards and two touchdowns. And that basically, it pushed the whole narrative. The Eli Manning was benched quick.
I don't think Justin Herbert's going to play much this year because you got Tyrod Taylor there, and that's they have him there as a bridge quarterback there. Tua, is he going to be able to challenge Ryan Fitzpatrick? I have expected Ryan Fitzpatrick to start all along. Maybe Tua, if he does get to camp, is able to showcase his talents and be healthy enough to be able to start. Plus, understanding the offense, going in and understanding the intricacies there. Fitzpatrick is a veteran. He's been there a while. Cam is going to be hurt a little bit. But then Jared Stidham's going to be hurting. He'll be hurt a little bit, too. Cam at least has experience. Stidham doesn't. Cam has the question marks with his health and learning that system where Stidham was able to at least learn with Tom Brady there. And then Joe Burrow walks in as the number one overall pick, and people are going to expect big things out of him. But I would caution them, certainly because of this pandemic, even if there wasn't the pandemic, just going into a situation like that. Yes, McLovin.
You're saying Brian Hoyer has a chance to win the job in New England?
No, I do not.
Did Curran say don't completely discount that? Just based on what you described, Hoyer's run that offense a million times.
Yeah, but does he run it well?
He's had winning seasons.
They can't do that to me. They can't. After all of the publicity I've given the Patriots with Cam Newton, and I'm excited and they're interesting, they can't do that to me.
But Stidham's okay.
Stidham's okay. I'm curious, but Cam makes the Patriots must-see TV. Because even if Brady was there, they're not must-see TV. They're not exciting. They're like the Spurs. They're boringly great. Yeah, see.
Even Stidham would be more interesting.
Than Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, like, all right, let's see. Yeah. Let's see what we got.
I know who Brian Hoyer is. I don't know what you have with Jared Stidham. And I guess just the curiosity of, has Belichick found another pupil? That's the curiosity there. And then how does Cam incorporate Cam and his personality, the chip on his shoulder, into New England? That'll be fascinating as well. Yeah, Paul.
Brian Hoyer is going to lose the game for you in a competitive fashion. Like, you're going to be in the game. It's going to be competitive.
Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick does that, too.
Oh, yeah.
He giveth, he taketh away.
He accidentally wins a couple and takes you out of draft position, though.
Well, he did that early. He usually does that early in the season, where he puts up these big numbers, and then we go, man, MVP candidate there. And then that's it. Then all of a sudden, we have him on. We talk about his beard, going to Harvard. And then that's the last time we talk to him. Yes, McLovin.
No, he'll beat the Saints 48-41. Yeah. And then he'll surprise the Patriots at week 14 every year, like for some team.
Oh, when I had the Saints going to the Super Bowl that opening week, and I'm watching the score, and I go, you got to be kidding. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to end my Super Bowl hopes week one. And they lost, they beat the Saints. I went, oh, God, you can't lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the time. All right, what other poll questions do we have?
Well, yeah, that was the other poll I wanted to say. Who wins the Patriots job? Do you think Cam can win it on camp alone? I mean, they're going to see a lot of him. They're going to see him for a month. And my second question is, does it matter who starts? Because all these teams are going to have coronavirus tests, soft tissue injuries. The backups are all playing, right, this year?
It feels like that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Stidham starts. I know we want Cam Newton to start, but that's not the way it works. Certainly not with Belichick. Belichick is not going to open up the scrapbook and say, boy, it'd be great to put Cam out there. Boy, he'd be great for attendance. Belichick just, hey, I want to win. Who gives me the best chance of winning? Who's not going to make mistakes? And, what kind of offense are you running? Are you more of a run-first team? Now, I won't be surprised at all if Stidham starts instead of Cam. I don't expect much out of Justin Herbert. Tua, I'd be surprised if he starts, just because I would want to have a conservative approach there if I'm the Miami Dolphins. Unless you feel like we can win this division this year, I want to ease Tua into this because you have him for 5 years. And Ryan Fitzpatrick will be a great placeholder for him and a great bridge quarterback to help him become successful. And I would take my time with that. The Bengals, they're trotting out Joe Burrow. Yeah, McClubbin.
Can I do a one take against the grain with the music?
Oh, okay. With music?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can find it.
It's
such a long time. Holy smokerinos.
Yeah. By the way, this program is brought to you by buyraycon.com, the wireless earbuds, the way to go. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Patrick. It's buyraycon.com/Patrick.
I have a surprise rookie starter. I think Justin Herbert gets out there, and he never ran in college, but he ran a 4.69 40. He's going to be Josh Allen. Never ran in college. He's going to run every play. That's what they do in the NFL. Just go out there and run for 100 yards, and he can do that. And I think he can play. He'll never throw the ball to the Chargers, but they have a great defense. Either him or Taylor just run the ball. But I think you know him.
Well, he did run the ball in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
he ran for 3 touchdowns.
He looked amazing, right? So why does he do that in the NFL? That's what they do with the rookie quarterbacks. They just run them into the ground.
It's one thing to do it in college. It's another thing to be able to do it in the pros. Very few are able to do that. And if they do it, how long can they do it?
They're all doing it now. Trubisky did it. Josh Allen did it. Every rookie quarterback who's fast. Burrow can run. I think all these guys are runners now. Isn't that the new QB?
I don't know if you're a runner. I think you're just athletic.
But I think Herbert's pretty athletic.
Well, but that doesn't mean I want Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow to run.
It's the NFL. You run your quarterback now. They don't care. It's just the rookie salary cap. They just burn these guys into the ground.
Well, I would want to take a little bit more cautious approach there. I want my quarterback to be more like Russell Wilson from the standpoint of run when you need to run, not because I have to run. I want it to be smart run plays, or they're designed to be a pass first, and then if you run, this is what we're asking you to do. I don't want you in the open field. I mean, Lamar Jackson is an anomaly. Even Kyler Murray, as great as he is, I want him to self-preservation. That's really what I want with my quarterback. Take the chance when it's there, but be smart. Remember RG3? One of the fastest players we've ever seen in the NFL. And he's out there running around like you do in the backyard with your brothers. And then he got popped a couple of times there. You got to be smart when you do it.
But you always said Kyler Murray can avoid big hits because he's got that baseball get low thing.
Well, there's a small target, but also it's being smart back there. You know, ego gets in the way, and then you take on these defensive players, and all of a sudden you realize, man, does that hurt. And RG3 was never the same. He took a couple of hits. Yeah, Paul.
And Justin Herbert is a good runner. He's a good downfield runner. You saw that, but he's also a huge target. Yeah. Like Andrew Luck was a huge target. When he ran, he used to bowl some people over. Remember first 3 years Andrew Luck would... He would drop some people.
Yeah, I don't need that. And Cam would do that. Remember when Cam played against the Broncos and they beat him up?
So what about Josh Allen and the hot Super Bowl pick Buffalo Bills everyone saw? Everyone's all about Josh Allen. That dude exposes himself 50 times a game.
In more ways than one.
Well, not that way.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, no, I'm talking about the way he throws the footballs, decisions that he makes. You know, he's... I get a little nervous with him. Got a lot of talent, but he's got to understand strengths and weaknesses there. Yeah, Seton.
Wasn't he the dude that the coach was like, you know what we have to do? We send him out there once early in the game to get popped, and then he kind of gets going. Remember that?
Yeah. Or it might have been that he said, hey, it feels great to get hit.
Oh, maybe it was him that said it.
He might have. He might have. I don't want that rationale with my quarterbacks. No. If you look at these quarterbacks who have survived, they've survived because they haven't put themselves at risk. Yeah, Paul.
Peyton Manning should do a training tape where you see like a defensive lineman's coming at you and you just kind of lay down nicely. Or
fetal position.
Or you throw a pick and the guy's going to get ready to block you and just say, I'm not going to tackle this guy. That's not my job.
But Brady has done that. You know, Brady will run a quarterback sneak. That's it. And it's not like he's going up and over like Cam does. He goes down low for that quarterback sneak. Look at how Breeze has lasted. Rodgers has lasted. Roethlisberger lasted. Philip Rivers is still playing football. There's a reason. they don't put themselves at risk.
But the new, all the
I
new
know,
guys,
I
Carson
know.
Wentz,
I know
they
it's,
all run.
I know. How many of these guys will play more than 12 years in the NFL?
Well, how come you won't say that with Lamar Jackson, though? You think he? I think he's.
I can't see him playing 12 years
unless he changes and runs less. Yeah.
Give me Patrick Mahomes, his approach to the game. Obviously, you want him as your quarterback, but his approach to the game is, I'll take it when it's there. Like, he had a run in the Super Bowl, and I went, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, I thought they were going to take his head off. Now, it was the Super Bowl, and you go, okay, you're going for an extra yard or a touchdown. But for the most part, and he's athletic, he can run, had a great run in the postseason. But I want you to be smart, not, hey, here's the new wave. My quarterback runs. We want him to run for 800, 900, 1,000 yards. That's not what I want. Unless you say, you know, the hell with longevity, we're trying to win now. And as long as Lamar Jackson knows that, then okay. You know, that's the approach that John Harbaugh is going to take in Baltimore. Yeah, McClellan.
What about Joe Burrow? He's not going to have any open receivers in Cincinnati. He's going to have to run.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's going to have A.J. Green and Joe Mixon, right?
Well, A.J. Green if he's healthy.
I know.
He's the always if he's healthy.
Yes. That's his name, A.J. Green if he's healthy. We're going to take a break. Dominic Foxworth from the Mothership will join us, and we'll talk to him about the NFL with possibly no preseason games. How do you get ready for a season like this? Brian Kelly from Notre Dame and the number one golfer in the world, John Rahm, a little bit later on as well. Your phone call is always welcome. Take a break. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. We'll settle on a poll question here. Or did we settle on a poll question, McLovin?
Yeah, we're going to go with the QB one. Which QB is hurt most by not having a preseason? Tom Brady, Cam Newton, or the three rookies, Tua, Justin Herbert, or Joe Burrow?
Well, maybe I'll start there with Dominic Foxworth, the ESPN writer, commentator for the Undefeated, former NFL quarterback, Harvard Business School grad. What a show-off. He joins us now. Dominic, which quarterback you think is going to be hurt the most if there's no preseason games?
I think I got to go with Burrow. I feel like that's the easy choice. But for the other rookie quarterbacks, there's really no expectation that they're going to start. Burrow is almost absolutely going to start day one and has no experience. His first career pass outside of practice is going to be a live NFL game. And no matter what we say about not having high expectations for that team, there's always high expectations for a rookie quarterback, and I think you can be ruined by that first season if it doesn't go well. And those other guys have some experience that I think they can fall back on.
Would you rather face Cam Newton or Jared Stidham?
Oh, that's a real question.
Yeah, I mean, right now, going into this season, given that Stidham has been there, Cam we don't know. Is it even close?
Nah, I mean, we don't know about Cam's physical health, but I don't think it's even close. What we've seen from Stidham on the field doesn't come close in the NFL or even in college, frankly. What we've seen from Stidham doesn't come close to the ceiling that Cam Newton has. So Stidham isn't a stiff, but he's certainly not the athlete that Cam Newton is. So even without knowing the system all that well, I'd be more concerned. Defensive players hate athletic quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks, dual threat guys like that. There is no defense for that. They compromise you in every way. If you're in man, you turn your back on them, they get out. If you're in zone, they buy time, man turns in the zone, they throw deep passes. And then when you're Cam Newton and you're built like a defensive end, tackling him does not seem fun. Fortunately, I got it out of the league before that was a possibility for me.
But I wonder about this. They were trying to usher in a new wave of quarterback here.
Right.
And like Lamar Jackson is the anomaly to me. Like, it's hard to find somebody who rushes for 1,200 yards and throws for over 30 touchdowns here.
Right.
Josh Allen runs, but I don't think he's capable of putting up those kind of numbers here. So Mahomes is capable of running, but he's known for his arm. So are we seeing a different type of quarterback, or is it just this is Lamar Jackson and maybe a little bit of Kyler Murray?
No, I think we're absolutely seeing a different type of quarterback. It's impossible to name a team that has a young quarterback that is not athletic and doesn't run some plays. And the best quarterback we have is Patrick Mahomes. And even he runs quite a bit. You think of some of the biggest plays in the playoffs last year, that kind of lazy spin he did into the end zone against the Titans. That was a running play. And I think you mentioned earlier in the Super Bowl, he put himself at risk and he fumbled down in the red zone because he took a big hit. Like, everybody is going to run. That's the way that it's going to be. Maybe it shortens their careers, but that dynamic is something that's so important to put stress on the defense, because obviously it makes it easier for your running back to run the ball if people have to account for you. It makes it easier in the passing game if you can scramble and make things happen. We give a lot of credit to Andy Reid, but if you go through those playoffs, which I happened to do a couple of days, watch all the plays from the Chiefs playoffs again, so many of the pivotal plays were after Patrick Mahomes bought time with his athleticism. Some of them he actually ran, but so many of the big plays, he bought time with his athleticism and released the ball deep downfield.
And to back up, what you're talking about, there have been 48 quarterback seasons with at least 500 rushing yards in NFL history. Exactly half have happened since 2010.
Yeah, the game has changed, but the athletic quarterbacks have always been there. I think you're going, as they get older, they're going to have to develop something else because their athleticism will leave and also their bodies will break down. But you think back to, I wrote a piece with Mina Kimes before the draft, where I said Lamar Jackson was the best. We said he was the best quarterback in the draft, and in the right situation, he would be great. But in that process, I went back and looked at a bunch of other quarterbacks, and John Elway was so athletic. And I rewatched the drive against the Browns, that important play. Every single play was something about his athleticism, was something about him buying time. All the passing plays were him scrambling, rolling out, maybe taking it for a short run, and also maybe connecting with someone down the field. All the pivotal plays in that drive. So it's not something that's new, but John obviously developed into a different type of a passer, and I don't think that's going to change. I think guys are running more now, but if you're going to have a long career, you're going to have to develop something else. But I'm completely fine. Honestly, I heard you in the first segment saying maybe you have an 8 or 7 year career. I'm fine. If you are here for a good time, not a long time, that is okay with me. I would rather have this version of Lamar Jackson than some watered down version of Lamar Jackson for 15 years.
We're talking to Dominic Foxworth. He is a writer and commentator for The Undefeated, which is ESPN's content initiative exploring the intersections of sports, race, and culture. How necessary is it to have at least one preseason game, in particular this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, it's certainly not necessary because they aren't going to have it. So we'll figure out how players figure out things going forward.
How important is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this season is going to be a unique one, and it's going to benefit teams that have experience and teams that are efficient. So I think in the past, when you have a lot more time, maybe there are times where you can make the best of a longer offseason, and you'll have maybe just 50% of your practices are productive. Now, that if that happens to a team now, they'll have a lot less time. So the teams that are able to be productive in that time, and the teams that bring in players, and sadly, this goes to what the Patriots have always done. They've always prioritized experienced, smart guys over having kind of stars and rookies around them. That's been kind of the Patriots' motto of roster management, is they'll get some mid-level guys that don't cost a ton of money but would normally be out of the league because they aren't big enough to warrant a big contract, but they aren't young enough to get the small contract. So teams who have those type of players, I think, will benefit, and teams who figure out ways to practice efficiently and get the best out of this time will benefit. And guys who have rookie head coaches, they're in trouble. Like, that seems impossible.
Yeah, I was wondering about Stefanski in Cleveland, that you're walking into a situation that feels real. It's tenuous here. It just feels like there's tension there. There's expectations there. But, man, it could either be great or it could go south quickly there. And you don't really get an off season, a preseason to get ready for just going into your first head coaching job.
I can't imagine what that must be like. And that team is a team that I think mentally and emotionally is on the brink. Like, there are some teams that could go through a losing streak and just have some installed confidence and maturity that this team hasn't developed yet. So it's going to be really hard for them, considering that they don't have a normal offseason, seeing how things go if they have a rough start in that division where they have at least two really tough defenses to go up against, in the Ravens and the Steelers.
Yeah, you start to wonder about this, even a simulated game. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been in simulated games.
Right.
It's not even a preseason game. Like, how do you prepare without having a game to really prepare for?
Well, I mean, I think you can go back to college. That's what we did in college. We would start our season's first real game was a real game. There was no preseason games in college. So you can try to do similar things to that, but you also don't want to hit too much in NFL practices because you don't want to get your own players hurt. It's different in college because the rosters are so deep and there's so many players that, frankly, you know, plan on playing and the coaches don't necessarily care. So it's a little bit easier to go kind of full speed. But I do think that many of these players are comfortable with it. It may not be pretty to all of us, but everyone, no one's going to be at a disadvantage necessarily. So I think that's the thing that I'd be more concerned about. If anything, like if I were a player right now or even a coach right now, I'd be looking at this as an opportunity. Like everyone's going to be at a disadvantage. No one knows quite how to prepare for this. If I can figure out how to prepare for this, this is my chance of getting edge. And maybe that's just like whatever mumbo jumbo I would tell myself to get motivated. But that's the way I would think about this is like, look, it's not like I'm at a disadvantage. I'm not the only person who's not getting these opportunities. Everyone's not getting them. How can I make the best of it?
And Dominic was the president of the NFL Players Association back in 2012. How confident would you be going into this season? What role would you play if you were the president of the NFL Players Association right now, telling everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the most important thing is the safety. And I think the players and J.C. Treader is the president at this moment. I think they've been clear about the positions that they were taking is to prioritize the health of their players. And I think it was made obvious by them advocating for no preseason games. Because if you think about it, the stars have a disproportionate amount of power in this, and they tend not to play in preseason games. And that preseason revenue goes directly into the cap. So those guys, their financial incentive would be to have preseason because that's money in their pocket or money in the cap that could go into their pocket without actually going out there to play. But they stood up in unison and said, no, we're not going to do that. And I know that it's not perfect for all of the undrafted guys who hope to make teams, but I do think that we all would agree that less contact, less travel, less of any of that stuff is probably, it increases the probability that we have a season and finish a season.
You were born in England, weren't you?
Yeah, military base. So, I mean, I could still run for president if I want to one day.
Oh, you can. Okay, good.
Yeah. I know that's what you're concerned about.
Were you there long enough to pick up an English accent?
Sadly, I was not. That would have been cool if I could do that. But I grew up in Baltimore, so I say to and do and those sorts of things. Not a cool English accent.
Do you have a welcome to the NFL moment when you were playing?
Yeah, I mean, I do remember it came in practice. So I grew up obviously watching a lot of football, and the dynasties that I watched were the Cowboys and the 49ers. My brother's favorite player was Jerry Rice. So my rookie season in Denver, Jerry Rice was in what is 21st season in training camp. And my parents came out to watch a training camp practice, and one of the early practices we were doing one-on-ones, and I came out there and lined up. And it was a cornrowed Jerry Rice across from me. And in that moment, it was just for like a split second before the snap, it was like, damn, that's Jerry Rice. And then I gave him the business because he was old. And then I made the team and he decided to retire from that point.
Do you think that's when he decided to retire? If he couldn't beat you, then it was time to retire?
He probably looked over and was like, I don't even know this kid's name and I can't get off the jam. It's probably time for me to shut it down.
I'm getting covered by a guy who was born in England here.
That's true. Yeah, I was a third round pick from Maryland. I'm not sure Jerry ever took the time to learn my name over remember me, but I certainly remember that moment.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. Continue the great work there at the Mothership and the Undefeated, and we appreciate your time.
I appreciate you, Dan.
Thank you. That's Dominic Foxworth. He's a writer and commentator for the Undefeated. That's ESPN's content initiative exploring the intersections of sports, race, and culture. We'll come back. Got some phone calls. Somebody's got a problem with something I said earlier in the show, apparently. We'll settle on our poll question, play of the day as well, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Oh my God.
The play. The play is called play of the day.
Brother, left side, got it!
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
And here's the pitch. And there's a
fly ball into left center field, way back, and that one is gone. A home run. It is Mookie's turn to trot around the diamond.
Charlie Steiner with the call on KLAC. Dodgers put up 12 runs, allowed one against the Diamondbacks, their final summer camp exhibition against the Angels tonight. They open the season Thursday against the Giants. That's your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by LegalZoom. You need to make it legal. Make it LegalZoom.com. They're not a law firm, so you don't have to leave your home. They don't charge you by the hour. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. A couple of phone calls here. Update our poll results. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, will join us coming up in about a half hour. Keith in Ohio leads us off. Keith, what's on your mind today?
Well, how are you doing today, Dan?
Good, Keith. What's on your mind?
Well, you made a comment earlier about the Bengals receiving corps. You literally said they wouldn't have a chance of hell basically get open for any targets this year.
Well, I didn't say they didn't have a chance in hell at any targets. I just said they had Joe Mixon and maybe A.J. Green.
And maybe, you know, say his full name now. A.J., if he's healthy, Green. That's the only receiver we have.
Well, he's your marquee guy if he's really good, Keith.
Yeah, he's our marquee guy. So you don't think he's going to be good enough to leave a brand new T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd open this year?
Keith, he's good enough. Is he healthy enough?
I don't even think he has to be healthy enough to attract that much attention.
Keith,
I really don't.
Keith, who
and
else?
They're going to control it.
Keith,
they're going to be on him for the first four games, making sure he's healthy.
Keith.
At least for the first four
Keith,
games.
Keith, I love the passion you're bringing. I wish the Bengals played with this passion. But can you catch?
Come on.
Can you catch, Keith? Because Joe Burrow might need some guys out there.
Oh, I can definitely catch. But I really trust the receivers. I think Auden Tate catch just as good. He's just slow. He's just slower and he's bigger than the rest of them. They need to use him right.
I would love to have A.J. Green out there. Thank you, Keith. John Ross is always injured. Eifert's always injured. Boyd is good. Tyler Boyd? Yeah, McLevin.
People are tweeting me like lists of like seven undrafted guys. What about this guy?
I mean,
like, some of these guys aren't even like real receivers that they're talking about.
Joe Burrow, he had more talent at LSU than he'll have with the Bengals on offense.
Not even close.
Yes.
Well, Mixon's really good.
Mixon is good. And they're going to need him to be really good because he's going to be Joe Burrow's best friend. Like, that's the guy you're going to need to lean on to help you. And a lot of those are going to be dump-off passes there. But, look, if they're healthy, you know, great. But they haven't been. What's A.J. Green? He's been last 5 years? I can't do this. I cannot break down the Bengals' wide receiving core. I can't do it today. Tomorrow, maybe. Not today. Can't do it. Jeremy in Wisconsin joins us. Hey, Jeremy, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a kind of point question as it relates to COVID testing in the NFL. And the first part is, do we know who's going to be conducting the testing? Is it going to be team officials or league officials? And I'll use a hypothetical as to why I think that should be or could be important. So I'll use Aaron Rodgers as an example because I root for the Green Bay Packers. Okay. So let's say in week 12, they're getting ready for a really important divisional game, and he develops a cough in the middle of the week. And, you know, team officials test it for COVID, and they want to hide the results or, you know, potentially hide the results because of the importance placed on that week's game. So do they then, as it relates to the quarantine Aaron before the results come back because it very well could be coronavirus, or do they wait until after? So that's my
It's dangerous to get into a hypothetical here, Jeremy, because I don't know the infrastructure, but thanks for the phone call. I would hope that it's left up to league doctors or medical staff to do this and, you know, not have this reliant on the teams to do it, because we've seen teams, when it comes to concussion protocol, don't always follow protocol. And that would be a concern. But I don't know the testing. The NFL has basically said, hey, don't worry about us. We're playing football. They haven't released many details. And I have sources who don't even know the details. I mean, I didn't even know Minnesota, the Vikings, you know, have gone to the great lengths for safety precautions there with their training camp. Peter King said that to me yesterday. I'd not heard anything about it. Kansas City Chiefs apparently have done a great job as well. I'm hopeful all of these teams have, but I don't know who is doing the testing there. The NFL has not leaked this out, and the NFL loves to leak out positive stories. I've not heard anything about that. Seems like a strange strategy in this day and age with all of these leagues, and we found out everything going on with all these other sports, in particular baseball, now the NBA. NFL been pretty tight-lipped about it. Maybe they got it buttoned up, but I did not know what the Vikings were doing and the steps they were taking to ensure safety for their players until Peter King said that yesterday. McLevin, have you seen, is it an independent medical staff that will conduct these tests?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But I know there's like every team has to get their plan approved by the NFL, and only a couple have so far.
Yeah. Why rush into it?
You know? By the way, that issue about lying about tests, forget the NFL. People are very dubious about college football.
Oh, college football, to me, that's where damage is done to those athletes, because there's twice as many players, younger, there's more hits, and I go back to a Real Sports Bryant Gumbel feature on athletes who played college football, didn't play in the NFL, and the number of, you know, CTE patients, brain damage, you know, severe concussions, because it goes undiagnosed. Or once you're done with college football, nobody's keeping up with you. And the longer you play, the more susceptible you are to long-lasting injuries, certainly with brain damage, CTE. All right, did we settle on a poll question? Boy, we didn't end the hour on a cheery note.
Which QB has been hurt, will be hurt most by no preseason? Cam is first, Joe Burrow second.
Yeah. I feel like Joe Burrow might have an easier time going into Cincinnati than Cam Newton into New England. Because Burrow's going in, and they know that they're not the class of the division. Cam's going in to replace Tom Brady. And I don't know. It feels like that transition might be a little bit tougher, even with all that experience. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach. More phone calls as well coming up here on the Dan Patrick Show.